The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome. Good morning, everybody. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Dave DeDoville.
And we are here for another 2 hours of home improvement. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. Numbers not changed. Still here. Hoping you had an awesome week. Looking into an awesome weekend. Weather should be perfect for all kinds of outdoor activities, including home improvement activities. So give us a call. We'll talk about what's important to you. David, good morning. How are you? Good. I hope a little bit of R&R occurred in your ventures. I don't know. A little driving, a little traveling, eh? Good. Always good. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. We're ready to talk about what's important to you, but it is October, and October is Fire Safety Month. David, do you know why October is named or has been dedicated as Fire Safety Month since 1922? That is true, but it predates that. That's a hint. Late one night when we were all in bed, Mrs. O'Leary left a lantern in her shed. The cow kicked it over, and this is what she said. There'll be a hot time in the old town tonight. The Great Chicago Fire occurred in October of 1871, and it took out like 14,000 buildings, 250 lives, and I don't know. There's a lot of memory having to happen here, but I don't know. It was a big thing. I grew up in Chicago, right? So that was always a big thing in our civics classes. Remember when they taught those? And like anytime people came to visit, family, friends, people from out of town, my mother was like the ultimate tour guide. And one stop absolutely had to happen on every single tour at the north end of the Magnificent Mile. Michigan Avenue sets the water tower, Chicago Water Tower. It was a pumping station to bring water into the city at the time. It is the only building in that area that actually survived the fire. All right. Under the W column for not wins, but who cares? Actually, a lot of people care. I think that's cool. I think we should teach history. We should remember history. It's a great trivia question. The Chicago flag has four stars on it. One of those stars represents the Chicago Fire. So Fort Dearborn, the Chicago Fire, the World's Columbian Exposition of 1893, and the Century of Progress in 1933 to 1934. Chicago used to be a pretty great place. And it burned. Yeah. And it burns again. It might. Oh my gosh. Let's see. What's today? The 20? Yes. It could have been last week too. Yes. It's 28 years. Yeah, 28 years on the air. That's pretty cool. The only thing... Yeah, the show was actually on before I joined for maybe about a year. But yeah, so yeah, it's... The only thing I've done longer than this is work at Home Depot and be married. Not necessarily in that order, because I've been married longer than I worked at Home Depot. Okay, who cares? Let's talk about Fire Safety Month. So, David, I thought we would talk today We'll spend some time on smoke alarms. Remember, we learned from the folks at Walter Kitta, or Kitta, they call it now, I guess, Kitta Corporation, that they're not smoke detectors, they're smoke alarms. There's a couple different types. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about fire extinguishers. There's several types, and it's kind of important to know what's what. We'll talk about where to have them. And then we'll talk about having an escape plan and an escape route, and particularly something that I thought about. I was talking to somebody at work, and they said when they check into a hotel, they always kind of make a mental note of where they are and where the escape is and so on, you know, the exits and stuff. And I thought, wow, I never do that. And I get disoriented pretty quickly. Like back when I was traveling, you know, four nights a week, you could be in two or three different hotels in a week. And that, I thought that was very prudent. And then also, like, what if you have people with disabilities? What kinds of extra precautions should you take there? And what should you have to make all that happen? And then, I don't know, I thought we would insert some tips of the week from the past just for grins to see if they're still relevant and good. And, you know, we'll share our Home Depot product of the week. And that ought to keep us busy for a couple hours. We love being the most busy with your phone calls. So call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're talking fire safety this week, but we'll talk about really anything that's important to y'all. We want to make sure that we're answering the questions that are on your mind, especially as people charge outside to really do some last-minute things in this beautiful, awesome fall weather. And that'll be that. We're right up against the break, so we're just going to go ahead and take it and stay on schedule. But get your coffee, get your questions, and call us at 704-570-1110. We'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. And we have lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about what's going on for you. Lots of good things happening here. We're going to talk fire safety. First thing we're going to talk about is smoke alarms. They're on our mind for several reasons right now. Number one is Fire Safety Month. And then number two, I think in a week or two, not this coming weekend, but the following, we come off of daylight savings time and we go to, what am I trying to say? We go to standard time. Thank you. And when that happens, We change batteries in our smoke alarms, right? That's our kind of best practice. And actually, I've been, when I do that, thinking about two other things. The batteries in the remote for the garage door opener outside. And then sometimes, depends on your vehicle, you'll get a warning to change the battery in your keyless entry for your car. And, you know, the keyless start now and all that stuff. Might not be a bad idea to change those things out at the same time also. But that's not why we're here. We want to talk about fire safety. So the smoke alarms, David, there's two kinds of smoke alarms, although just like everything else, the technology just gets better and better. Two kinds of smoke alarms. Actually, there's three now. One is a photoelectric. It uses a photoelectric sensor. And another is called ionization, and it uses a small amount of radioactive material to ionize the particles that are floating around the smoke alarm. When certain amounts of those particles get ionized in the presence of smoke, then the alarm is triggered. For the photoelectric, it has you know, a contact, a light beam, you know, touching another, and when that gets blocked, I'm probably over not correctly stating all of the technology behind this, but when that light senses is blocked, then it triggers the alarm. The ionization one tends to be very good or better for detecting smoldering fires. Like, so something's, you know, gotten hot and it's smoldering, but it's not just, you know, full blown flame. The photoelectric ones, like electric wires or the even like fireplace where, you know, something pops past the screen after you go to bed. If you haven't extinguished a wooden fireplace, something's, you know, something hot from the stove has been left to, you know, kind of smolder, a rag or something. Although those would tend to flash pretty quickly. So that's good in that application. The photoelectric is the opposite, right? It catches those fires that flame up very quickly and produce, you know, large amounts of smoke very quickly. And so you're like, well, okay, how do I protect my home from both of those without putting one right next to the other? And in my house, I think I have 14 or 16 smoke alarms by the time you figure, you know, garage, furnace area, bedrooms, hallways, all that stuff. You know, you don't want to have 28 of those things. And so they now have one that does both. It will do, it will read, but it has a dual sensor. So it has a photoelectric sensor and a ionization sensor. So just like everything else, like many things, somebody looked at the dilemma and said, golly, we should try to make this easier. And poof, we now have a dual solution. And that would be the recommendation, I think, if we're saying, hey, you know, what kinds of things should I have for, I'm trying to click back to a website here. What kind of a smoke alarm should I have? There's your answer, right? Go with the dual version. I was trying to look up and see how expensive they are, and I'm not finding that quickly. Right. There's it's like so many things though, right? It's like, okay, what do I do now, and which do I buy? I like the idea of the Wi-Fi because, well, you know why. Talk about it. Yeah. For a long time, those were only wired, hardwired, so they're daisy chained together. So if one goes off, they all go off. I think people that are still in older homes that haven't updated don't realize that you have to have one that's going down on it. Yeah, that was the first out of budget line item in our renovation. That's, I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is, right? It's worth it. It's just worth it. It just gets easier and easier. The challenge, of course, is that it is all on Wi-Fi. So should you have a failure there, then you've got some additional challenges. But that's what it is. Yep. I don't sleep through anything anymore. So a couple, I think a couple of key and relevant points. Number one, if you can, if it's not going to be insane, do a combination AC-DC, right? So it's got, it's wired, and it's got a battery backup. If not, a battery is fine. You got to look at local code because, David, to your point, it may mean, you know, you got to get these things. They got to be wired together if you don't have a Wi-Fi solution. We talk about replacing the batteries. That's kind of a no-brainer. Testing it. You're supposed to test it once a month. I know everybody does that religiously. Not. But here's probably something that is not understood or known. There's a life expectancy for a smoke alarm, and it's about 10 years. It is 10 years. If you have a smoke alarm CO2, CO carbon monoxide combination detector, it's 7 years. And you can pull the unit down from the ceiling, and stamped on the back of it in an easy to see spot is the date of expiration, right? It says it's good until this, and it says keep refrigerated after opening. It does not say that. Somebody's going to send a letter. there's an expiration date, and you'll actually, if you look at the alarm when you take it down, change the battery, whatever, it'll also tell you, you get different sorts of like warning signals that are not smoke alarms, right? So you'll get a certain type of chirp when the battery is weak, or you'll also get a chirp when it's hit, when it hits its life expectancy. So those are just some things to think about from a smoke alarm perspective. We didn't talk a lot about carbon monoxide. We should probably do that. We're going to be close to a break here, so we'll just go ahead and take the break. But when we come back, we'll talk about the combination carbon monoxide smoke alarms and whether that's the best placement of a carbon monoxide alarm. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about questions that you might have. We have plenty of lines open this morning. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You can send us a note at askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button, and we can talk that way. Anyway, you slice it, we're going to talk more home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. And we are back talking fire safety. Before we get totally deep into it, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. And I love it when they line up nicely. And so this week's Home Depot product of the week is a 6-foot fiberglass ladder. Has a 10-foot reach if when you're standing on it. I think it lines up because with a 10-foot reach, you can change the batteries on a smoke alarm, even on a 9-foot ceiling. See how we did that? But it's awesome. It's actually an awesome. It's a Werner fiberglass. You can get less expensive ladders. You can get an aluminum ladder. I had one for a long time. Fiberglass, just much more sturdy, non-conductive when you're doing electrical work. Doesn't corrode. Doesn't twist or bend. This particular Werner one has what they call the holster top pro, which is. It's the top of the ladder has a magnetic spot. It's not like rocket science. You're not going to launch satellites from the top of your ladder, but it's got a cool design to hold your tools, your drills, screwdrivers, pliers, and that stuff. And then there's a little attachment. There's a whole series of lock-in accessories available from Werner that you can purchase. They're awesome. They're great. My challenge is, where are you going to store them? So, and I know I'm supposed to promote products, but I'm also supposed to tell you the truth. And so truth is, awesome product. It's got a 300-pound capacity, so you don't even need to go on a diet to use it. And it's awesome. David, you probably own more than one of them. Yeah, I broke down and bought the same version of an 8-foot about a year ago, just because it's tough in the garage that I've got in the overheads. That 8-foot ladder lets me get up into it without standing on the top of a 6-foot ladder, which I've never ever done in my life because it's just not safe. That's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week. I didn't share a price point. It's about $125. That could go up or down a little bit. If you're in the state of California, it's been determined that it causes cancer and you shouldn't use it. That's terrible. I shouldn't even joke about that. But I just did. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're talking home improvement. We're talking fire safety, and we're talking specifically in fire safety, smoke alarms. David, we spoke about, you know, the combination smoke alarm, CO, carbon monoxide detector, kind of important. We always hear the stories of a fire that had casualties because of a malfunctioning smoke alarm. And that's never good. I feel like we hear more. I have no idea what the statistics are, but I just feel like we hear more of scenarios where somebody was using a generator or somebody was doing something that produced carbon monoxide, and there was no carbon monoxide alarm. And as a result, there were fatalities, right? Carbon monoxide is insidious because where smoke and a fire ultimately will wake you up, carbon monoxide just puts you to sleep, right? You sink into unconsciousness as it builds up in your system. So carbon monoxide detectors in Mecklenburg County, David, I feel like there's a requirement to have a carbon monoxide detector in bedrooms so in a hallway or something on each level. Okay. So that's good. Does it require a placement in like where there's fossil fired? Okay. Perfect, 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 perfect. All right. So quickly then, let's talk about the key places, or rooms in where you should have smoke alarms, right? So do you know them off the top of your head, David? Okay. Okay. Right. Good for you. Wow. Okay. Yep. Perfect, perfect. Very good, very good. Not surprised. Not surprised. All right. It's hard to believe, but we're up against a break again. Holy moly. Look, let's do that. When we come back, we'll talk fire extinguishers. I think we've covered on the key points, but if you've got questions around any of these things, call us at 704-570-1110. If you've got a question totally unrelated to fire safety, but it is home improvement related, we're happy to tackle that also. Same number, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. And we have lines open at 704-570-1110. We've got a call from Tom. Tom, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning? Tom, you there?
On metal roofs, what would be a good coating?
So a good coating for a metal roof. You're just trying to coat it. You don't have active leaks or anything?
No, no leaks. It's okay. It's rust and it's aluminum looking roof.
Got it. David, I think, I can't remember whether it's Henry. There's probably multiple manufacturers, but there is actually an elastometric roof coating designed specifically for metal roofs. I think Henry manufactures it. I don't know if Century is even still a manufacturer. That's one that comes to mind. David, what are your thoughts? White, kind of, yeah. Cool seal, cool.
You say it's called Henry?
I think WW Henry is the manufacturer. It'll be called Elastometric Roof Coating.
Oh, okay.
And we recommend that. There's other things you could put on there. But Tom, the reason that particular product is good is the elastometric. That's the key, right? So as metal has a high coefficient of linear expansion. That just means it expands and contracts a lot as it gets hot and cools off. And so you want a coating that's going to expand and contract with the metal, not stay rigid and therefore chip and crack and break off.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. Hey.
Yes.
Right. Home Depot has that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just a little building, a little metal building outside. Okay.
They will probably include like a 2D barcode on the label or a website on the label, Tom, and just take 2 minutes and go to that site and just kind of walk through. They'll have a video, and it'll address those points that David is making.
See what temperature they say to use it on and all that.
Yeah, I can't recall off the top of my head. I mean, you're probably in an ideal temperature situation right now. Plus, it's less humid right now.
Hey, can I ask you one other thing?
You bet.
I got an old metal door. It's, I think it maybe might be aluminum, and I wanted to paint it. And what would be the best way to do that?
Is it an entrance door? Or a storm door?
It's just an old door on my building. It's the aluminum looking one.
Yeah.
Silver looking.
Yeah. It's silver looking. It's probably a steel door, David, I would think, versus aluminum. Prime it, I would say, right, with a gripper or something that's going to bond well.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate the help today.
You're welcome to it, Tom. Thank you for calling. All right, Tom's off to get a couple chore kinds of things done. The big trick there, both for his steel door and for the metal roofing, is the flexible nature of an good acrylic latex paint. It doesn't dry as hard as an oil-based paint does, so it'll flex a little bit. You won't get the chipping and cracking and peeling, and of course the same for the roof coating. All right, let's see. That's It'll bond.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great solution because it is a great solution. All right, so that's good. We don't have a whole bunch of time left in this hour, but that's all right. I wanted to, so just recapping, you know, the smoke alarms. There's two types, photoelectric and ionization. There's also a third type, which is both. Check out the labels. It's fire products and smoke alarm products are sort of getting like sealants, caulking sealants. You get in front of, you get on that section or the aisle in the store and you start looking and you're like, there's too many options here, right? So you've got battery only, you got AC hard with battery backup. That would be a preferred solution, might be a required solution depending on your local code. You got photo, ionization, combination is better in both of those scenarios. And then you got smoke alarm only and smoke alarm with carbon monoxide. Again, depending on the vent, the location and local code, the combination is better in at least some of the scenarios where you're going to put a smoke alarm. There, that's that. Anything I missed on that? Okay. So the next thing in Fire Safety Month is fire extinguishers. And here again, there's a lot of options. It can be confusing, and at the risk of sounding melodramatic, a bad choice could be life-threatening. Having the wrong type of fire extinguisher or using the wrong type of fire extinguisher on particular fires could exacerbate the situation versus putting it out or extinguishing it. So there's a bunch of really good websites. Kidde, the same company that makes smoke alarms, makes fire extinguishers. They have an awesome website, videos, tutorials, www.kidde.com. If you're on the Home Depot website and you click on the Kidde products, there's good information there also. Despite the fact that I am an associate of the Home Depot, I've actually spent more time in that regard on the Kidde website. Just a lot of great information there. To get something in before the break, let's talk about the places in your home where you should have a fire extinguisher. And then David, when we come back, we'll dial into like the specific types of fire extinguishers that are out there, how you tell them apart by the color of their label and what kinds of fires that they should be used on. But, room number one, obviously, is the kitchen, right? And then you have some really good tips. We'll talk about that when we come back about where in the kitchen it should go. Then near sources of heat, heating equipment. So where furnace room or close to the furnace room, David, your tip about the kitchen applies there also. And then you should have one on each floor of your home. So somewhere you probably don't want it hanging as a decorative, you know, ornamental piece. But it needs to be on each floor of the home, and everybody in your home needs to know where it is. In the garage, I would argue that in the garage, you want to up the capacity of the size of the fire extinguisher. We can talk about that when we come back. And then in your bedrooms. Now, I don't think you necessarily have to have a fire extinguisher in each bedroom. I have one in our master bedroom closet, and then one at the other end and by the bonus room, and both would be easily accessible. Coming out of the master bedroom, I got it. In any of the other three bedrooms, it's close to the bonus room, and you can get to it in the event of a fire. More importantly, maybe even than extinguishing the fire in some scenarios, is how to get out, and we're going to talk about that also. So lots ahead of us on fire safety during October Fire Safety Month. But also many, many home improvement questions that we can tackle as you desire. The best way to tell us what you desire is to call us at 704-570-1110 or send us an email at questions@askjohnanddave.com. No matter what you do, we're going to be back and we're going to talk home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
the Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
A Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I am John Gordon. Lines are open at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're talking home improvement. We're talking fire safety during this month of October. Hard to believe it's more behind us than there is in front of us. Some of us know that as a function of diet issues. But there is more of October behind us than there is in front of us. But we're still talking fire safety. So give us a call, 704-570-1110. Doesn't have to be a fire safety question. David, we said we would go to fire extinguishers as part of fire safety. And this is another area where there's just a lot of opportunity for confusion, not intentionally, but different scenarios call for different fire extinguishers. And so we ran down the list of areas where we think we're, and it's not just our opinion, this is you kind of scour for fire safety websites, both government related and private sector guidelines or NGOs guidelines, and there's just good information out there. And so we spoke of the places to keep it being number one, the kitchen, number two, next to sources of heat. Which could be a fireplace, could be if you always use an auxiliary space heater in a particular room, your furnace, if you have a fossil fuel fired system, somewhere on each floor of your home, depending on the size of your home. If you live in the Biltmore house, you might want to look a little deeper into that. In the garage, close to, but not next, precisely next to where fires could break out by chemicals, gas cans, whatever you're keeping out there. And then close to bedrooms, so that in the middle of the night, if there's a fire, any bedroom occupant could come out and quickly have access to a fire extinguisher and then go. So David, you, before we get into the types of fire extinguishers, you have some really good advice about where you place a fire extinguisher, particularly, say, in the kitchen or the garage. Will you speak to that for a second? Right. Mm-hmm. Or the door. On the back side of the door, of course, but yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Right.
Right. Right. That which was the reason for raising a gas water heater up off the floor if it was in the garage, right? Right. Right. Yep. So good advice. I took advantage of one of the promotions where, you know, Home Depot has like a multi-pack of fire extinguishers, and you save a little bit by buying more than one in this package. But in the garage, I have one as you go into the garage from the house, and then one close to the exit on the way out. So if the first one doesn't work, I can grab the second one as I kiss it all goodbye. A placement is really important. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a minute, but we want to spend some time on the types of fire extinguishers. But David, you said something that's super, super important. You said you positioned your fire extinguisher so that if things got out of hand, you could get out. That's really the number one thing. Have the ability, have a plan. You got to get away from the fire. If you win, great, happy days. If it gets ahead of you, it gets out of hand, you got to have a way out. It's not the hero's way out. So just something to think about. We've got to take a break. We're going to come back and answer questions at 704-570-1110, and we'll talk about types of fire extinguishers when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. We are taking calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Looks like we got a call from Bob, a former firefighter. I think we're getting ready to get some great information. Good morning, Bob. Thank you for calling. How are you this morning? You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show.
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Hello?
Yes, we're good.
Okay. I just wanted to share a little bit of knowledge that I have. You guys have done an excellent job. I'm a retired electrical engineer, and I was a volunteer firefighter for 10 years in a different state. And you've pretty much covered all the important stuff, but I was just going to say what I have done at our own home is it's a two-story, mm-hmm. and I have a fire extinguisher at each end of each floor and in the middle of each floor. Going out into the garage, I have one where you go from the kitchen into the garage, mm-hmm. right at the door.
Yep.
And then I have one coming in from the outside. When the garage door goes up, if there should be a fire, then I've got a fire extinguisher right there that you can grab, as you're coming in from the driveway. I think that's a total of 11, and then I carry one, of course, in each vehicle. And I also have rate of rise heat detectors in the attic and in the garage, which are a little different, operate a little differently than the smoke alarms do.
Talk about that for a second. That's kind of interesting. We've never spoken about that.
Yeah, they're designed to detect a rate of change in temperature. The temperature rises a certain amount of degrees in a certain amount of time. It will trigger the sensors and send an alarm signal. That's usually early on in the fire, at the onset of the fire, things are normal. And then all of a sudden the fire breaks out and in areas where you don't live, i.e. the attic and the garage, that gives you kind of an early warning in addition to having the firefighting fire extinguishers necessary, but I would suggest
where does somebody get those? That doesn't sound like
from probably any one of your alarm companies that operate. We have I don't want to mention their names, I guess, but it's probably the biggest one here in Charlotte. You can probably figure out who that is.
Just like the people that do the security alarms, right?
Yes, home security and fire. They do both.
Yep.
And that's it's not something I guess that you would find, on the shelf at a at a store, but they certainly make them and install them, and they are well worth the extra advance warning to save on damage.
Awesome. Well, we go ahead.
Correct. Right, that is correct for paper and wood. And then you have, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, ABC will work on electrical too, won't it?
There's fire extinguishers. I can't remember the class, but they're specifically for metal fires. It's either D as in dog or E, one or the other. And go ahead. For grease. Right, yes, for grease fires.
Okay.
The NFPA, National Fire Protection Association.
Gasoline, maybe?
I honestly don't know, and I wouldn't want to give any false information. That's above my level of expertise.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, and you made an excellent point earlier about don't place your fire extinguisher close to the stove, because in the if you have a grease fire on the stove, it flares, and that's going to either burn you trying to get the fire extinguisher if it's next to the stove, where we keep ours in the pantry. In the kitchen, that way it's out of the way but readily accessible. It should. A fire pan, you know, if a pan too much grease in it spatters over, whatever, or an ABC should take care of that. a deep fryer. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yep.
Probably. And I was just going to make another quick point. Don't throw water on a grease fire. That's the worst thing you could do. It'll just cause it to spread. It'll splash the grease.
If
you don't have a fire extinguisher, use some kind of dry powder, sugar, flour, whatever. Don't put water on it. That's the worst thing you can do.
Bob, thank you for calling. Thanks for hanging out with us for a minute to tackle a couple extra questions. We really appreciate it, and thanks for making the effort.
I enjoy your show. I try to listen to it every Saturday morning. Gets me going and gets me thinking for the day.
So all right.
That's a good word.
Good deal. Thanks so much, Bob. Have an awesome day. Thank you for your service. All right, let's talk to Catherine. Catherine, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Hello?
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a question about thermostats. We moved into a condo, two-story, that was built in 1986, and I'm sure the been remodeled. And now they have what's called the Nest thermostat, smart thermostat. We don't do smart stuff like smartphone and whatever. And we'd like to change it out to what we call the regular thermostat of the olden days that we're used to.
Yes.
I think one furnace is gas and one is heat pump, but I'm not positive. Should we get a heating and air conditioned person to do that, or can a person with electrical experience change that thermostat out? It's a Nest, N-E-S-T thermostat.
Yeah, we're familiar with it. So my recommendation is probably get an HVAC person out to do it. It's not going to cost a fortune to do that.
I'm sorry. You're not coming through good. And I'm on a cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Catherine. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll have some lines open after the break at 704-570-1110. We got to finish up with Catherine on a thermostat question, and we're still talking fire safety for Fire Safety Month. No matter what your question is, no matter what the topic is, 704-570-1110, we'll take your call and we'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. 704-570-1110. Before we finish up Catherine's question and jump on Gloria's, just want to sneak in our Home Depot product of the week this week. We think it's a good one because it's a good product and it ties in nicely with the theme smoke alarms. And it's a 6-foot fiberglass stepladder from Werner. It's a type 1A, which means 300 pounds or more, 300 pounds rating. It has a 10-foot reach, so if you're changing your fire smoke alarms and so on, and even with a 9-foot ceiling, you can reach it. And the price point is great, $125. It's non-conductive, doesn't kink or bend and so on like an aluminum ladder might do. It has a pretty cool top called a Holster Pro top. That's just marketing stuff, which means it holds your drill and pliers, and it's got a little magnetic spot, which is good for me because I have vocabulary opportunities every time I drop a screw. You know, I sit on the ladder and then it's on the floor and I can't find it or whatever. It's magnetic in that regard, but it also will take like the lock-in accessories from Werner. There's a whole series of lock-in accessories that are compatible with this. Those are great things. You got to figure out a place to store them because you don't store them on the ladder. Something else to think about. But bottom line, super great product. That's our Home Depot product of the week, a Werner 6-foot fiberglass ladder with a 10-foot reach. Okay, so just real quick, David, you were answering Catherine's question on a Nest thermostat, switching it out. And I think our advice was get a HVAC guy to do it, correct? Right, you're going to fry components, yeah. There you go. Boom. Thank you for that. All right, let's talk to Gloria. Good morning, Gloria. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Yes, this is about my electric stove. my cooking stove in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I was boiling something, and so I cut it down to low.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did some, and I went back, and it was just red and boiling
mm-hmm.
on low. And my question is, I had this happen on a stove about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and we bought this stove because the other stove went like that. I was frying something,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden it just went hot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's smart me or, you know, not being very smart.
No.
But can you address that? I mean, it's just kind of strange, but it's an electric stove. It's a Whirlpool.
Okay.
And so just address it, and I'll hang up.
Well, just a couple questions before you hang up. Go ahead, David.
Okay. No, they're not. They're you have to turn it, you're manually turn
okay.
them.
Okay.
Low, high, or however you want it. They're manual.
And then is it the smooth surface top or is it the cal rod that is kind of like a coil?
No, I have the rod. It's
okay.
Got those smooth tops.
Okay, no, perfect.
It's kind of old-fashioned.
That's all right. We're not. So are David and I. We're not opposed to that. Okay. You can hang on, Gloria, or hang up. Either one. We'll chat. We'll talk to what the point is. David,
yeah,
I think
it's a little bit serious. I think.
So yeah, it is. Yeah, because if you think you've turned something to simmer and go to do something even in the same room. And you haven't, the chance of spills, boilovers, are it's a big issue. So, absolutely serious.
Okay, well, I'm going to hang up.
All right.
Say something about it. Is that all the questions you have to ask me?
I think so.
Okay.
David, where were you headed? Right. Yeah. Yep. But there's, I think so too, because that's where your control is, and there's a sensor that that measures the temperature and sends it back, saying, okay, you've hit that benchmark. I do know that I haven't looked at a more contemporary, more modern component. There is a cluster at the bottom of the cal rod also, and that has sensing equipment. That's where I think the temperature sensing devices are. It could be in either place, I think, right? Because you could have a good dial getting a bad read from the from a sensor in the cal rod. So two things I think that you want to think about. Number one is you probably want to get an appliance repairman out there to take a look at that and address it and replace it. While he or she is there, they can probably tell you if there's too much power coming into the system. They can put a meter on the line for the stove. If you have surges, maybe, I don't know. But I think the first thing is get an appliance repair person out there to check out both devices, both the dial and the cal rod itself. And then with it replaced, maybe it doesn't happen again. If it does, I think you also want to maybe have an electrician out and see if there's issues with the line in. It would more likely be a surge, though, wouldn't it, David? Right, so you just get a little feed across. All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk home improvement on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. We are into the final segment here, the lightning round, so to speak. We've got a few things to cover yet still on fire safety. And, of course, we'll cover whatever you have if you call us at 704-570-1110. David, we've talked about smoke alarms. We've talked about CO2 or carbon monoxide alarms. We talked about fire extinguishers. And the last thing we want to make sure we speak about, and could be arguably the most important no matter what, which is an escape plan and an escape route. It's not something you think about just because fires are one of those things that you think are always going to happen to somebody else. And I have a very good friend and colleague through work who a year ago went through a fire and the home was destroyed. And everything turned out fine, but he was quick to point out, he's like, hey, had things gone any differently, we'd have been dead meat because we did not have a plan. And we were fortunate enough to be able to, you know, have access to escape routes. So there's a couple things that I think that we want to talk about. Number one is just have a plan. Know where you're going to go. I know for Barb and me, out the master bedroom window is not an option, but the next bedroom over has a window out to a canopy over the porch and then a way down. So that's kind of our plan, and would be pretty practical and not likely to be blocked. But you just got to have a plan. If you have young children, that plan is A, critical, and B, like super important to do. you gotta do a practice. And again, the internet has tons and tons of resources. You can actually watch a family go through a fire drill, and the mom has got a stopwatch and she's timing how long it takes everybody to get out of the house and make sure everybody knows the plan, right? So at the risk of sounding a bit like an alarmist or a little melodramatic, you have got to have a plan. Quick sidebar, as I look down at my notes, Chris, our producer, let us know that someone called in, didn't stay on the line, but wanted to remind folks that toys can be flammable also. Good reminder, I think most of the stuff that you get now, you can check and see and make sure that it's rated for choke hazard. The stuffing and components of toys typically have to have some sort of fire retardant when it's a stuffed animal or something like that, some sort of fire retardant material. But it's a great advice, especially when you think about something that could happen in a bedroom or so on. So one of the, like the electrical issues. So thank you for that that feedback. David, we also have talked about just having a fire escape, like a ladder. You're on a single level with the exception of the room above. I'm not taking my advice on this. I don't have a safety ladder in the house. I guess I haven't panicked about it so much now that the kids are all gone and it's only Barb and me and we kind of have a way out that would not require a ladder. But if that was blocked, I don't have a solution. And so I say, well, it's not likely to be blocked, but kind of breaking my own advice there. So, you don't have to get like super obnoxious things that are staying there. You can have these chain ladders that fold up nicely, can be stored in a closet, and so in the master bedroom closet or under the bed if you want, and then can be, you know, put out the window, drop, they hook to the inside, kind of lap over your sill, and you have a ladder down. So I think that's something that you want to have. The other thing is just have a flashlight close to the bed, and you check the batteries on it also, so you have, you know, light on the way out should power fail as a function of the fire. Here's something I discovered at the Home Depot. I'm sure it's available in other places that I really love, and I have it in lamps in our family room, in our bonus room, and in the master bedroom, and it's an LED lamp that is rechargeable. So And there's two versions of it. One has a button on it and one doesn't. Each time you use the lamp, it charges a battery inside the bulb so that if you lose power, you can unscrew the bulb. The ones that I have a little black button on it. You click the button and it becomes a flashlight. I think that's just a great solution because I have that in the nightstands in our master bedroom. So I also have flashlights next to the bed. But let's just say I forgot to check the batteries, or our grandchildren were visiting last week and they went, you know, got in and had a big time with the flashlight, left it on, and so now it's dead and I don't know it. Just unscrewing this bulb and clicking the button, I have light to escape or to move about in a power failure. I think they're pretty cool. I think Feit, F-E-I-T, is the manufacturer, if I recall. But I saw them. I thought that was just a great idea. So what am I forgetting in having like a safety plan and ladders and stuff like that? Stuff with the windows? Have to do it. Yeah. I was in Barb's office yesterday and I saw the plan, and then she was conducting a fire drill with all the kids yesterday. I'm sure she does it. I'm sure the local municipality, it requires that they do their own, you know, the fire, unannounced fire drills by the fire department. But I think that's a great idea. And the kids, when you get kids fired up about something, they can be a real pain and in a very positive sense, right? Because, you know, when you tell a kid not to use a certain word, like never say stupid, and then you say this stupid thing doesn't work, they're like, Dad, you said stupid. They become lovely reminders of whatever you taught. And so I think that's really, really good advice. Yes. Right. Yeah. We call that motivation. Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. That you have access, and we're right past the break here, so I'll go. But when you change out replacement windows, make sure that you don't reduce your egress sizes and so on. All right. Holy cow! Another 2 hours gone, folks. We really appreciate you listening. Lots of great questions this week, and we're grateful for that. And we always want to remind you at the end of each show that we think the most important kind of home improvement you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week, and we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.